Everyone, this is Kevin with Die Hard Discipleship, where the rubber meets the road with your faith and God. Thank you so much for joining. I'm really excited about this. We just got done with the creation series. We went over evolution and creation, some basics, a 6-day creation, young earth, dinosaurs, and then we went over the salvation story in creation. We're now going to dive into the flood. We're not going to get so crazy in depth with it, but we're going to go over some basics so you know the history of the world, so that you know why things are going the way that they're going, and so that you know even how to guard yourself from some of this stuff. So I hope you enjoy this. Thank you so much again. So I hope you're memorizing the scripture memory verses. I have put them on most of the podcasts, but I'm going to do one today. John 10 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life abundantly from Jesus. So again, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and life abundantly. So thank you so much. Get those on your heart, because when we talk about meditating on God's word and studying God's word, you want these verses on there so that you have something to pull from, so you have something to learn to study from. I'm going to start by going through some history first of what we've spoken about. First, we did talk about how Genesis has been confirmed by other books in the Old Testament. We talked about First Chronicles, how First Chronicles, the Hebrews are keeping genealogies, and Adam's part of that genealogy. They don't leave him out, and people after Adam, Canaan, Cain and Abel. You also get that confirmed in the New Testament. You have the Book of Luke, who also has the genealogy start going all the way to Adam. Then you have writings from Jesus, who refers back to the father of lies, the devil. First John mentions Cain and Abel. Paul mentions the Garden of Eden in 2 Corinthians 11. He also mentions it in 1 Timothy 2, talking about Cain and Abel and how the woman was deceived first. So these New Testament writers are writing as if they believe these things happened. These aren't moral stories. They're quoting them and sharing them and saying, hey, we can get some application and some life experience because of what they've gone through. Very important point. Jesus also says at the beginning of the world, in Matthew 19, when he's talking about marriage, he says, in the beginning, he created a male and female. He's telling you when the beginning of the world was. It's when Adam and Eve were created on day six. That is the beginning of the world. And Jesus states that very clear in Matthew 19. We're also told that death comes through Adam. See, sin did not come prior to the fall. There was no sin. There was no eating animals, even. There's no document. The first documented kill was when God covered Adam and Eve with animal skins. And we'll get more into that. But we have to understand that evolution says, hey, there's the gap theory or the day age theory, that there's millions of years prior to the fall, or there's millions of years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 1, 2, or evolution was occurring way before the fall. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. There was no death prior to Adam committing or Eve committing sin. And so with that, we can rest assured that the beginning of the world was created when man and woman were created. We can rest assured that there's a 6-day, 6 days it took for God to create, and the seventh he rested. It repeats in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 5, where he writes down the Ten Commandments again. And then it says in Hebrews that God worked 6 days and he rested on the seventh. This is important because our world is not millions and millions of years old. In fact, on the Young Earth video, we go over four things: space, oceans, things on the earth, and things with civilization that show that this is a younger earth and not an older earth, not millions and billions of years old. And part of that was going over dinosaurs that show they have soft tissue, protein from feathers, protein from blood vessels, skin, which shows that these dinosaurs are not very old. They're not as old as what we've been taught in schools because of evolution. With that, we're going to get into Satan's background and history. And like I said, we're not going to dive too deep into it, but we just want to know some of the basics. But when God created this earth in the first 6 days, part of that was the angels. Now, some people think that the angels were created at the beginning on day one, before day one, and some people think you created along with the stars and heavenly hosts, because there's other references to stars that have to do with angels. I tend to think it's on the day that he created the stars and the heavenly hosts. Well, with that, if what God says in Genesis 1:31, it says God saw that everything he was made and it was very good, that means that all the angels, including Satan, were created during that week and he was very good along with everything else. In fact, he was not just very good. It says he was perfect in all his ways in Ezekiel 28:10. He was the greatest of these angels. He was called the day star, called Lucifer, the day star. He was a high angel. Some have to reference that he has to do a lot with music in heaven. He was called the anointed cherub. He shined brightly. But what happens is when we're in that position, a lot of times when we have a lot of money, or we have a lot of clout, or we have a lot of wisdom, we tend to get high and mighty in our own minds. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. He was responsible for creating one of the seven wonders of the world in Babylon. Yet when God warned him a year prior, said, "Hey, you're going to become like a beast," he was walking around his monstrosity of a, fortress. Or they say six double horses, chariots, can go side by side, and that's how wide the top of his wall was. That's a huge wall. And he was there and he was saying, "Wow, look what I have done. Look what I have created. Look what I built." And God humbled him. Why? Because that pride of life is arrogance. It's prideful to think that we did everything. God says, "What do you have that you have not received? And why do you boast as if you have not received it? Why do you boast as if you're not receiving it?" Because God is the one that gives it all. He's the one that provides skills and gifts and talents. The earth is the Lord's, everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The earth is the Lord's, everything is God's. He's the one that provides you with the money or the wisdom or the ability to do things. But Satan took this too far. And it says at some point between the first week of creation, when everything was very good, and before Adam and Eve fell, it says that his heart was lifted up because of his beauty and wisdom. His heart was lifted up, Ezekiel 28:17. And he said in his heart, he will be like the Most High God. He says he's going to be like God. No one's going to be like God. We're going to be like God in our character, but we're not going to be like God, and we can't know all things. We can't do all things. That's arrogance. That's prideful. He thinks he stands, takes heed that he does not fall. If you think you stand, take heed that you don't fall. And Satan believed that he can exalt his throne above God, Isaiah 14:13. And because of that, God cast him down. When he came down, it says his tail in Revelation 12 swooped a third of the stars. Again, another reference to other fallen angels. Another reference to angels. So now he's down on this earth. And he's working. It says he's working in the sons of disobedience. He's working through spiritual means to bring about the downfall of as many people as possible to hell. And it says the road is broad and the way, it says the road is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. It says many are those who find it. He is going to wreak havoc and cause people to go down this broad road. But then it says, Jesus says the way is narrow that leads to eternal life. There's only a short, narrow road, one door to get through. That's it. Jesus says, "I am the door." He says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He says, "I am that way. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your souls." He wants us to come to him. He wants us to go through him for salvation. The way is broad that leads to many. The way is broad that leads to destruction. Many are those who find it. There are a lot of different ways to walk and to walk off this narrow road. Satan has made sure of it. So when he was cast down, he became, it says he's working the sons of disobedience. It says he's a deceiver of the whole world. And when iniquity was found in him, like I said, God cast him down. And eventually him and those angels are going to be brought into hell. That is the consequence, the judgment for these wicked, fallen creatures. And he's going to take whoever he can. Man's appointed to die once, then comes judgment. We're all going to stand before God. God is not a demanding God. He doesn't want to lord it over us. He's given us a way. Sin has caused us to be off from God. Like David says, in sin my mother conceived me. But God has provided a way for us to have a right relationship with him. And the devil wants to deal with that. And it's come from the seed from the very beginning. It says when Adam and Eve had, when she had the seed, it says your seed will crush the head of the serpent, but he will bite him on the heel. There's going to be this battle between the Satan seed and the seed of God, which in the context I'm talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And with this, the demonic realm is working to bring down all mankind. And Satan comes as an angel of light. And Paul writes, he goes, so he comes as an angel of light. No wonder the workers of iniquity come in angels of light. So Satan came as an angel of light. He wants us to think he's good. Some people think it's going to be a party in hell. Some people don't think the devil's real. Some people don't realize it's a spiritual battle. He wants us to think that, so we don't have our guard up. And he's leading as an angel of light, working through the sons of disobedience, as a deceiver of the world, the father of lies. It says he's leading the whole world to a one world government, order, religion under his control. Under his control until one day Jesus is going to come back and destroy the works of the devil. And it's interesting, if you hear some testimonies of Satanists, there's one specifically, John Ramirez. He was the third highest Satanist in the state of New York. He would go around and pray for more rape, more destruction, more violence. And this is, just out of his own mouth. He would pray for more death, more murder. That doesn't sound, some people think Satan's some good guy. And there's lots of different branches of the Satanic Church or different religions, different cults. And even when you talk to someone, like talking to someone that attended the Temple of Satan, we don't worship Satan, but going on their website, everything it said, and then at the end was "Hail Satan, Hail Satan, Hail Satan," because our world is conditioned to believe Satan is some good guy, ready to free us from some God that doesn't want us to live a right life. We're a slave. We're either a slave to our sin or we're a slave to righteousness. Jesus is a good master. He wants us to have a life that's abundant. He wants us to have a life full of good fruit. He wants us to have a life of joy. Like I said, he says, I've come that they may have life and life abundantly. So Satan can even possess humans, and some people even believe animals, such as the animal of, when the spirits come, they're being cast out, and they say, "Hey, don't torment us for this time, Jesus. It's not the time. Can we go into those pigs?" So he cast them into those pigs, and the pigs ran over and fell off a cliff. Ran over and fell off a cliff. But that somewhat showed that these evil spirits were able to enter into animals. Really interesting. If you look at the chapters I've been quoting, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, and in Daniel, these are talking about the king of Tyre, the king of Babylon, and the king of Assyria. And a lot of scholars believe that as it's talking about these kings, it switches gears and goes back and starts talking about this angelic being, which they believe is Satan, how, his heart was lifted up to the throne of God. He wanted to be exalted. And it's the same entity spirit that's possessing these kings to move, thinking they're gonna conquer and win. And because they had a lot of power and stature, riches and wisdom, access to all those things, was pretty much the downfall of all three of those guys as well. So really interesting. The other thing I want to talk about is Satan. We're going to get in some of the names of Satan, but the names of Satan reveal that your name can reveal a lot about your character. Now, it doesn't mean every single name reveals something bad about someone, but it can. And that's same with Satan. One of the things he's called the destroyer, Apollyon, abandoned, destroyer. And he wants to destroy people's lives. In the Bible, in Leviticus 19:28, it says, he tells Moses, who's writing the law, he says, don't cut yourselves like the nations around you who worship other gods. Because he doesn't want us to cut ourselves. That's occultic practices. That's occultic practices. And then when you look at Elijah going against the 450 prophets of Baal, one of the things they do to call on their God is to cut themselves, self-harm, self-infliction. There's a lot of that right now. A lot of music that says, hey, take drugs, go drink. It'll even straight out say, just go kill yourself. You meditate on those words, you'll become those words. As a man thinks, so he is. And if you meditate on those things, you're going to become that. So if you're listening to music like that, throw it out. Even to listen to someone that broke up with their boyfriend, girlfriend, and then sing a song about it, depressed, anxious, like, get that out. God wants to give you life and life abundantly, life to the full. He wants to have you live with joy. Repeat his words, not their words. Well, along with the sacrifice or the suicide, is you never see a prophet of God, someone that's following God, ever take their own life. Elijah running from Jezebel, or Jonah after he got back from preaching to the Ninevites. They both say, take my life, Lord. They don't take their own life, take my life, because God would not have us inflict ourselves. He would not have us take our own lives. He believes your life is precious, more precious than sometimes we even. And what's interesting is even Jesus is tempted with suicide. When he's fasting for 40 days, 40 nights, Satan comes along and says, hey, turn these stones into bread. I know you haven't eaten for 40 days, so turn these stones into bread. One of the next things he says is, throw yourself down from this temple. Doesn't it say that the angels will lift you up, keep you safe? He's telling them, go kill yourself. Go kill yourself. That's evil. That's something that Satan and only Satan would do. Those aren't thoughts from God. God says, I care. I write your name on my hand. I'll put your tears in a bottle. He says, I think about you more than the grains of sand. He says, my thoughts about you, the psalmist writes, says, your thoughts about me are more than sand on in the sea. Jesus, I think it's Luke 12, says, he knows every hair on your head. He says, not one of these birds will fall to the ground without God knowing about it. How much more does he care about you? Pretty radical that God would think and care about us so much. He doesn't want us to do self-harm. Only Satan does. Let me go to these other names of Satan. Lucifer, day star, light bringer, son of the morning. He's called a falling star. He was called an anointed cherub before he fell. He's the god of this age, ruler of this world, ruler of darkness, prince of the power of the air, the power of darkness, ruler of demons, son of perdition, wicked one. Roaring lion, devil, which means slanderer. Serpent, more crafty than any beast of the field. He's called the serpent of old. It's called the dragon, evil one, enemy. Satan, which means an adversary, accuser, opponent. He's also called the accuser of the brethren. There's a story in Zechariah 3 where he's accusing Joshua in front of the throne of God. He accuses Job. In Revelation 12, he's accuser of the brethren, accusing us night and day. Hey, you'll never be good enough. You'll never do that. You'll never. You know who else was accused? Jesus. He never performed any act of sin. He was accused. They had to set up guys and accuse him. Because Satan works through them. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's accused by religious leaders. He's the father of lies. He's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. Some people hear lies in their head that said, he won't amount to much. He won't do anything in this world. It's a lie. God has a purpose for your life. Like I said, deceiver of the world, Apollyon, abandoned. He's also called, like I said, a thief. He wants to steal you, your heart. He wants to steal your wife. He wants to steal your kids. He wants to steal your witness and what you're doing at your job. He wants to steal the good things that you have going on. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's a murderer. He's come to take life, not give it. And he's a tempter. He's a tempter. He tempted Jesus. He tempted David. He tempted Adam and Eve. He will tempt you. That's why the Bible says, keep every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Satan is not a good dude. He's not someone to pass around that's going to be your homeboy. He's not someone that's going to do things well for you. He's here to destroy you. You know, with that, Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. You're safe when you run to God, when you cry out to God. You're safe. You know, he says he's going to protect us with his pinions, his wings. He'll shelter us. Run in the shelter of the Most High God. It says, greater is he who's in us than he who's of the world. It says, who can separate us from the love of God? Neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus. He is your protector. He is your stronghold. It says, those who trust in the Lord, they'll be like Mount Zion, Psalm 125, which cannot be moved but abides forever. He wants to make you a mountain that cannot be moved by life's struggles. Satan wants to move you. He wants to cause you to stumble. He wants to tear apart your family. So with that, keep that memory verse in mind. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life abundantly. John 10:10. You know, John over and over writes, I've come that you may have joy. He's writing so that you may have joy. Give thanks. God is good. And God's good all the time. Thank you for joining us. This is Kevin with Die Hard Discipleship, where the rubber meets the road with your faith in God.